You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Prediction Show with me, Stephanie Chias, here on Fightful. And today I am joined by Shirley to talk about WWE Night of Champions. Hello, Shirley. How are you doing? And thanks so much for doing this with me.
Hello, Stephanie. I'm doing all good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on my first Fightful thing in a long while. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking before the show. Yeah. So. We got all of that out. And now we're going to talk about this pay-per-view, which is happening on Saturday.
Saturday the 28th of June. I believe it's 6 p.m. UK time.
That's a really good time, I gotta say. It's a really good time. Mm-hmm. And yep, live from Saudi Arabia, they're headed there. It felt maybe during the week that maybe they weren't, but no, CM Punk will wrestle in Saudi Arabia. It's happening.
It's a thing that's happening.
That's a thing that's happening in 2025. But yeah, we have 6 matches to talk about. We want your predictions too, so let us know in the chat. And our sponsor is mybookie.ag. So if you deposit $100, you get $50. Deposit $200 and get $100. So go on there and predict who you think will walk away from Night of Champions as the winners. All right, Shirley, are you ready?
I'm ready as I ever be to talk about this show. It's an interesting one to talk about, I think.
It's an interesting one to talk about. I'm not that inspired by the card. But I think there might be some interesting discussions. Mm-hmm. So shall we start with just a singles match? It's Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross actually getting a match, not just on television, but on pay-per-view. It's finally happened for the man. I really like Karrion Kross, I have to say. I've always really liked Karrion Kross. I don't think he's like the best in-ring worker, but he's kind of just someone I like. And I can see what he's doing with his storyline and just being very proactive himself and putting things online. And I think Sami Zayn's a really good opponent for him. As far as the winner, I think it's going to be Karrion. I feel like, I know like Sami's like the much bigger name, but I feel like you're giving Karrion Kross this match. I think if he doesn't win, he just seems like someone that was, you know, talking shit the entire time. But if he can actually beat Sami and prove something, I think that's just such a massive positive for his character. So I'm going to back Karrion Kross. How about you?
So I'm kind of you on the same boat, but it's more like I've only recently got on the bandwagon. I think it was his WrestleMania where, like, the run up to WrestleMania is what you're saying. Like, Karrion is so proactive in what he's doing. He's not just sitting back and resting on his laurels and hoping something comes his way. I love the fact that it's a very old school strategy of just using social media to get the fans on side, and it's paying off. And we finally have a match with him on pay-per-view when it should have happened at Money in the Bank, but we're neither here or there. We've got a pay-per-view match with him. And I do feel like Karrion will win, because it just feels like he needs to show, actually, my words can back them with actions. And I feel like we're seeing Sami Zayn go down a spiral.
Yeah.
And I want to see that spiral happen. Like, I've said this in recent prediction shows where I'm just like, I want to see someone just spiral down into a massive loss and then they just snap. And I feel like Sami's a really great character to do that with, because he's had so many twists and turns. Starting off with Karrion Kross winning would be great.
Mm-hmm. I think Sami will carry him to a pretty good match. Karrion Kross. But yeah, I've just always really liked Karrion. I've always had a soft spot for him and Scarlett as well. So I'm glad to see them getting on pay-per-view. And yeah, I think Kross has to win this one, or it's going to feel very much like a conspiracy against him or something, you know, actually giving him a match and him losing.
Yeah, I want Karrion Kross to win. I want to prevent what happened with Bray Wyatt back in the day, you know, when there was all that build up. He's so great at promos. He had the whole world in his hands. Then it came to WrestleMania and he lost.
Yeah.
And then that led to kind of like a spiral, and then it led to the character kind of becoming really convoluted and weird, especially in like the mid-2010s. I don't want that history to be repeated. So Karrion Kross, I really want to see win, and I think he will win too.
Yeah, people always act like you can recover from losses, but there's some losses that you can't recover from when you know, you're doing like a storyline like this and it's gone this way. But yeah, I'm glad we're both agreed on Karrion Kross. Up next, we have Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Rodriguez on a street fight. Who have you got for this, Shirley?
I feel like this was a match that was made because Dominic Mysterio is not going over to Saudi Arabia with AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. So this was like a very last minute match. Yeah. I feel like this is one of those matches which is going to appease the local crowd, which will lead to a Rhea Ripley win, especially what happened on Raw with Raquel getting one up on Rhea. It just feels quite simple. They have a good street fight, and then Rhea wins. We're riptide for a table. 1, 2, 3. We progress. I do see some more development, though, with Roxanne Perez, because obviously with Liv Morgan being injured, we need to develop that partnership a little bit more with Raquel to see that through to evolution and things. But I thought it's a nice and simple Rhea Ripley win.
So I'm thinking the opposite. Like, I'm thinking Raquel wins. And I know the money would be on Rhea, obviously, like she's the bigger star, and I'm sure she'll get like a really great reaction. But I think Raquel wins thanks to Roxanne, for Roxanne to like prove herself to Raquel, become Raquel's tag team partner, and basically like take over Liv Morgan's life. With Liv Morgan gone, kind of like what Liv Morgan did to Rhea Ripley, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I can see Raquel winning, just them like doing that storyline, just really repeating it with what happened to Liv is really unfortunate. She's been on such a run of being really good, and it's so unfortunate to see her go down like that. And they're actually very lucky that they'd plugged Roxanne into this whole Judgment Day thing, you know, before this happened. I can actually see Raquel taking this and it being quite a big deal, and something for Rhea to also psychologically recover from, you know, Rhea Ripley losing to Raquel like that. But I could see them just doing a simple storyline as well, and it's like a quick match, and Rhea just beats her, and then maybe Roxanne is there to help, you know, build her back up again. But I definitely see that. I think Roxanne is just kind of going to take over Liv Morgan's life, and it's going to be very like with Rhea, you know, taking a, you know, Dominic as well. And
yeah,
and for some reason, like, Dominic can never contact his girlfriends if they're injured, so they
I mean, like, those who cheat are often doomed to repeat it, and Dominic did it with Liv, and it's going to happen with Roxanne. It's almost like Liv's going to learn the same lessons that Rhea learned, but it's going to be singing a lot more because she knows what it's like to be on both sides. So yeah. I can see it going both ways, but I do feel like, knowing the way WWE is structuring their shows at the moment, I do see it being just a really simple. They're probably going to have their time cut. Let's be really honest. It'll be like during the show, right? We're going to get like less than 10 minutes throwing a show time.
I think the street fight stipulation is there to, like, A, kind of make it a better match, but just for something fun for the crowd to see, you know, a trash can get thrown or something like that.
Get
something,
their money's worth.
Yeah, get their money's worth. And you know, adding, like, an extra women's match onto the show without it having to be anything of real substance or whatever, you know, too. All right, then we have Jacob Fatu versus Solo Sikoa for the United States Championship. I just see Jacob winning this. I think Jacob's great. I think they're on to winner with Jacob. I really feel sorry for Solo, just because I find him quite pathetic. And I mean, his I feel like his character work currently has been quite good, but only because this is closer to what he actually seems like. Like, when he was being the leader, I didn't think his character work was good. I didn't think it was believable. But now that they've been like, oh, you can be a bit pathetic and stuff, he's like, oh, in my wheelhouse. Yeah, that's it. So I just feel like for this one, it has to be Jacob, because Jacob's the guy. He's the bloodline guy. And I wouldn't take that title off him, like, especially not with Solo. And I think they're setting – I do think – Jimmy and Jay will end up reuniting, and they're setting up kind of two different Samoan factions. And I don't see Solo winning.
No, I don't see Solo winning. Like, bless him. I'm enjoying his character work a lot more. Like, it feels more in line with what he was doing with NXT before he got called up at Clash in 2022. It feels more in line with that, which I enjoyed that character too. Jacob, I just need him to squash him. I love watching Jacob Fatu just obliterate people. It's just a fun thing to watch. But I'm going to throw a twist in. I think after the match, we're going to see the debut of Hikuleo, who has been, like, doing dark matches before SmackDown. I do see some sort of big debut for Hikuleo to kind of show, no, I've got someone. Like, because obviously we've got JC Mateo, who is aligned with Solo. I think to round out that side of the faction, we're going to see that at Night of Champions with Hikuleo making his debut.
Yeah, the Hikuleo stuff is so weird. Being signed for like over a year and not seeing him. And he had a match in Main Event, right, I think a week or two ago, which is such a bizarre way to debut someone, or, you know. Yeah, I could see him coming and, like, finally being part of it. I would love to know, like, the full story of that, or what was wrong or didn't fit that they just didn't put him on TV. I mean, it doesn't even feel like they were waiting for a certain moment in the storyline, because it seems like there's always been an opening to just introduce Hikuleo. Like, so it's a very interesting one. But I think Solo is, like, just destined to be looked back on in, you know, maybe like 20, 30 years when someone's doing a retrospective of this era of wrestling, which, God help them. Like,
oh my gosh,
he's going to be looked on as one of those guys that, like, very, very briefly, it seemed like could be, you know, a guy, a top guy, and it just, like, didn't work out. And and Jacob coming was just kind of the worst thing for him. It's just overshadowed.
Because now he's the guy. I do think that tribal rules match on the Raw debut on Netflix ruined Solo Sikoa. It ruined any momentum he could have had, and the fact that Roman Reigns won and then we've barely seen him since. I do see, like, if we get the Hikuleo debut on Night of Champions, then I think we're going to head towards another Survivor Series with, like, the two War and Samoan factions. And we've obviously got, like, Tongaloa, Tama Tonga still in the sidelines. We don't know when they're coming back. they might come back in time for Survivor Series. But I do see like another Samoan war with, on one side, you've got Solo, Tama, Tonga, JC, and Hikuleo versus Jacob, the Usos, Roman Reigns. And then they might make Damian Priest an honorary boost. Who knows?
Yeah. And I mean, another person that might be slightly to blame for Per Solo is probably Dwayne The Rock, because it just feels like with everything that Solo like went through and the breakup with Roman and stuff, he wasn't ever going to have a chance of being a real threat or a real guy unless Roman carried through like that thread with him and Dwayne being directly involved in the bloodline and in trying to become head of the bloodline and all of that. And then Dwayne is now branched off of John Cena, Travis Scott, whatever, but nothing that's really to do with like Solo. And it's just kind of left this of like the bloodline story that was so, that just gripped everyone for so long and was so well received. It's just kind of like very mid-card like now and just unfortunate, you know.
Yeah, it's like no one really wants to put the effort in like they did back in like 2023 with how hot that storyline was. It is a very much a mid situation, which is sad for everyone involved because there's some really talented people involved. But it, I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson and him, there's too much to say to try and encapsulate into a word, but he is probably the reason why this has all fallen off a cliff.
Yes, I would say like very much so. All right, I'm going to go next to the Queen of the Ring tournament final. It's Asuka, the returning Asuka, versus Jade Cargill. And the winner receives their world championship match at SummerSlam. Well, I have been enjoying the Queen of the Ring tournament. I think it's been pretty good. With this, I'm just going for Jade as the winner because Naomi has the briefcase. Like, I'm going for Jade winning, facing Tiffany, and then Naomi getting involved in that. I think maybe Jade beating Tiffany and then Naomi, like, immediately beating her, or Naomi making the match a three-way or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think Asuka winning, I don't think has the same possibilities for me as Jade winning. Like, Asuka is really great, but there's just the Jade stuff and Naomi being so hot, though, I really think they're going to have a problem with Naomi very soon just getting, like, cheers, you know, because she's been so good at, like, this role. Naomi's definitely someone that gives 100% to whatever they give her. But, yeah, I think maybe, like, the fans will be back in Asuka, but I think Jade, I don't think it's going to be a very good match, and I don't really think I think Asuka will try and carry Jade, but I think that Jade's matches have not been very good in WWE. I just don't think so. But yeah, I think she's going to win for Naomi to do something. What about you? You look like you want Asuka to win.
I mean, I am Team Asuka in this match. I feel like I'm more interested in Asuka versus Io than I am in Jade versus Tiffany with a Naomi cash-in. I'm way more interested.
I think that's more interesting and a better match, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in terms of like, okay, what are we going to promote on this? I don't understand why it's two nights, but it's a two-night SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. What is going to get people like, oh my gosh, this is amazing? And I think it'll be Asuka winning, who I think needs the win to reestablish herself as one of the top superstars, especially with like the influx of talent that's come in. Like, you've got your Julia's, your Stephanie Vaquer's, you've got your Roxanne Perez. Asuka needs to reestablish herself as a top. There's a reason why she's like one of the best of all time. And I think getting Queen of the Ring will do that. Having a stellar match with Io Sky will do that. Mm-hmm. And it's way more interesting to me to see that dynamic play out more so than the Jade and Tiffany. I'm going to be that person who says I'm not the biggest Tiffany Stratton fan. I've not enjoyed her reign as champion, and I feel like a lot of her flaws and her inexperience have been exposed through this championship reign. Mm-hmm. It has felt really up and down. It's like nothing's been really consistent. Like, we think about champions like CM Punk. I'm going to throw CM Punk out there because I'm thinking about the Summer of Punk. He was consistent with his character. He wasn't a babyface, he wasn't heel, but he was consistent with who he was throughout his 434-day title reign. Yes, he leaned more into heel sometimes, maybe he leaned more into face, but you knew who he was and you knew what he stood for. Yeah. Tiffany Stratton goes from being like, I'm going to be like the best babyface, the babyface I've never done in my career, but I'm going to try, being outshone by Chelsea Green. Then she shoots back down to heel, then calling Alexa like a nostalgia act. Now she's gone back to babyface with Nia Jax. It just feels like I don't get the Tiffany Stratton reign. And having like Jade versus Tiffany doesn't interest me. So I want Oscar to win purely for what I know will be a way more entertaining match.
Yeah, I agree that I want Oscar to win. The only thing that makes me think that they might not give it to Jade is just literally not trusting Jade and Tiffany to have an anywhere near a respectable match, because I don't think that would be good. I think my theory of Jade is basically using her to make the jump to Naomi, who I do think will get the title, and I do think that like she deserves it as well. But yeah, you've just reminded me, SummerSlam's tonight. Oh my god, like,
I know, and also
very unnecessary.
A factor we haven't considered, because I feel like she's due to come back anytime, is Bianca Belair.
Yeah,
she's due back anytime. So like, she's her finger, I think she's kayfabe injured at this point. From looking at recent pictures, it looks like she's ready to rock and roll. I want to see that develop without the Queen of the Ring involved. We've already got the Money in the Bank. And plus, you've had so much go to SmackDown with the women's division recently. You had Charlotte Flair win the Royal Rumble match, and that was SmackDown focused. Then you had Naomi win the Money in the Bank, which has been SmackDown focused. Give the Raw girls something, you know? Give them the Queen of the Ring so they have something that they can build towards.
Yeah, I get you. I'd love to see Asuka win it, and she's such a great... just such a great wrestler. And it will be really cool to see her mix in with these new talents that are coming up, like Stephanie and Julia, will be awesome. But just part of me can see it happening to Jade. And then, but you're right that Tiffany's reign hasn't been good. She never read Babyface to me. And it's just...
shows. Yeah. I think it was the Elimination Chamber build-up when she had a tag match with Trish. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea Green just completely outclassed her on every level.
She's so good. And it's odd to say it because she's, you know, had a title and everything, but she feels like female Karrion Kross, and that they're just not giving her the spots that she deserves to be getting for the work that she's putting in.
No, and I think... I know if it was like Chelsea Green in the championship, sort of Chelsea Green in the finals of Queen of the Ring, I'd be championing Chelsea Green till the cows come home. Like, I would love to see her in that spot more so than what is the potential of a Jade Cargill versus Tiffany. That doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Like, there are other more interesting characters to work around. And I think with Queen of the Ring, given it's Asuka, you know you're going to get a good match from her.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll hope for Asuka. It's going to be cheer. Okay, would you rather go with the men's title match or the King of the Ring final next?
Why don't we do the King of the Ring final? Because I think that's going to feed in to the main event.
All right, go for it. Who have you got between Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes? And they, one of them, will receive a world championship match at SummerSlam, the two-night SummerSlam.
So I think it's going to be Cody. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to come about shenanigans.
Okay.
I think John Cena is going to have some involvement in this match. It just kind of feels like we're going to see a situation where we're not going to get a straight one-on-one match at SummerSlam. We'll get an established King of the Ring winner, but I think John Cena is going to cost the person he doesn't want to face at SummerSlam.
Right, so he doesn't want to face Randy?
I don't think he wants to face Randy again.
Okay.
So I think that Cena will cost Randy. Cody will win King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. But then there'll be some situation where Orton gets factored back in. So, and this will feed into my main event theory that I've got, but I do feel like Cody will win, but it will be Cena, Costa, Randy, and that will influence the main event as well.
Oh, wow.
I've got this whole theory laid out. I'm just kind of like, I feel like something interesting needs to happen with the men's. I kind of alluded to it before we came on. I find like the men's stuff needs some bit of spice. Give me some shenanigans. And I feel like Cena getting involved, like he got involved at Saturday Night Main Event with Logan Paul. I think he's going to get involved in this match in some capacity.
Right. So this will main event then. It probably will main event, I guess, because it's King of the Ring. I was going for Cody as well, partially because I've said before on this show, I'm not a Randy Orton person ever. I've always found him boring. And when I say always, I mean always. So for me, it's just kind of like, we're still doing Randy Orton, you know, we're still doing Randy Orton. That's crazy. That's really crazy. I don't get, you know, anything from Randy. He's had his match with Cena. And I don't think that Randy Gunther, you know, excites me or Randy Goldberg.
Can you imagine if it was Goldberg at SummerSlam as the world champ?
I can actually imagine them doing
that. I don't want to imagine that world. Can we not imagine that world where we potentially have Goldberg as the world champ? And Gunther is a transitional champion.
Can you imagine a world where we have Goldberg and John Cena as the two champions, both trying to gingerly make it in and out of the ring without ending their careers?
I don't want to live in this world. I don't want to go back. Let's go back to like King of the Ring, because that sounds like a lot nicer in terms of, I don't want to know Goldberg as world champ. No, thank you. We'll probably do a Saturday night main event chat, but I'm just like, don't manifest that into existence, please.
No, I'm certainly not manifesting that. I think it's going to be Cody. And I think Cody really has lost a bit, you know, since losing the title. They just seem like they don't really know what to do with him. I mean he's in the next match, not this one, but I've just thought this John Cena turn, all of it has just been so badly done and just awful, and you know, he full of bad matches and bad promos and bad angles and bad acting and all of it. I think Cody needs to go on a journey to get back to the title. I think if it's Cody versus John at SummerSlam, I don't think that Cody's gonna win. I don't think he's gonna be back there yet. But yeah, I see King Cody. And if they crown Randy Orton, like, in the year 2025, it's just wild. It's just, I mean, I'll give it to Randy. He's lasted so long. He's lasted way longer than I ever thought he was going to. But to see him take, even when he fought Cena, like, obviously they had so much history, and also like Cena's just not good, but I still thought, like, if Cena has limited matches, can we just not?
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Do Randy Orton, you know, because I'd be more intrigued by seeing Cena, you know, opposite someone he's never worked with or something than retreading Randy Orton.
I think that's my main issue with Cena's retirement tour. It just kind of feels like, we kind of talked about this before the show, but we were like, it's a nostalgia throwback.
I don't
want nostalgia throwbacks. I want to see what Cena does with the likes of a Damian Priest or a Drew McIntyre in this era of Drew McIntyre or Alistair Black, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I kind of wanted to see, is almost like what he was like when he was with, like, feuding with Kevin Owens way back when, I think, 2016. That's kind of what I wanted to see from this retirement tour, was Cena, like, pushing himself in terms of, like, the sort of person he's interacting with, but he hasn't. And it's been a nostalgia trip. But it's been, like, a poorly done, poorly organized. We're just kind of plodding along and hoping for the best, almost like Vince McMahon-style booking. Yeah. And I don't like how, I mean, like, I'm saying this as someone who's been a John Cena fan from the jump. And it just, blaming the fans, like, for you turning is ridiculous. Like, and it doesn't, what didn't help that whole situation, we go back to the point we started Sokoa, Dwayne The Rock Johnson did not help that situation at all. He's made this into a car crash, and you kind of, like, are left with the remains to try and make something out of it. Like, this could have and should have been, like, a really great, like, the heel moment, iconic, but the follow-up has been absolutely shocking. And it's crazy to say that when you think of someone like a Trish Stratus, who, beloved by everyone, was able to turn heel for a while and then turned back successfully and is now back to being beloved. John Cena's not been able to do that, which is insane to me. But I'm fed up with the nostalgia trip. But I do think we are going to get something interesting at SummerSlam when we talk about the main event and what I think is going to happen there. I don't think you're going to like what I'm going to say, but I feel like the main event of SummerSlam is not going to be as straight-laced as a Cena and Cody match.
Okay, so we've agreed on Cody. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it then. Let's go with John Cena, CM Punk. Well, okay, I think the John Cena feud has been, or turn has been, fucking awful. I think you're right. The moment he turned, that was iconic. That just him doing it was iconic. But the longer it's been, it now just feels like this wasn't the plan, or this wasn't the right plan. No. He's struggled so much to properly say, like, why he's done this. I think we can put a ton of blame on Dwayne, who just seems to come in, take a shit and leave.
Yes.
Like a lot. And it's just bad. But I think that, yeah, it feels like there's been no plan, because, and this whole idea of, like, you didn't like my music or my jorts or my colors, so I'm going to keep wearing them, is, like, so stupid. He should have fully changed everything. And because if you're not willing to do it now because it's the end, then you shouldn't just be doing this at all. But it is a case of the people finally getting what they wanted, the people that didn't like him, so they're going to keep cheering him. So I think the whole turn has been really bad. And I think he has been really bad in the ring from it. You can tell he's a lot older now, but he's lost it. But he was never a great worker anyway. And then that leads us to CM Punk being his opponent and this quite bizarre storyline that we can just try and talk honestly about. So a couple of years ago, when CM Punk was angry at wrestling, he had a go at The Miz for working in Saudi Arabia. And now CM Punk is working in Saudi Arabia. And they've, like, it's like they're working this in with Cena mentioning it and Punk, you know, like, not mentioning Saudi Arabia, which is just healing Punk, because he is a hypocrite for doing it. Like I've said, but he's hypocrite for so many things. Like, I mean, the first time I thought he was a total hypocrite was when he took the backstage role on Fox, you know, when he
Oh my gosh, yes.
That was fucking awful. So
just to state, for anyone that thinks like I'm a blind punk fan, like absolutely not. He's hypocritical about so many things. I did think that he would leave off going to Saudi until they do like the Royal Rumble there. But it just feels to me like Punk and Cena is obviously like the big match. And I do think that Punk is Cena's best in opponent. And maybe even now in 2025, he was the best with him in the Elimination Chamber. This just feels totally unnecessary to make Punk the challenger for this event, because you are making him like look so bad. You're making the storyline like so messy and confusing with all these little like undertones to pick up on, where it all just seems kind of a bit like all round offensive. And then the promo on SmackDown, John Cena doing the pipe bomb, I didn't like that. I thought that it was, first I thought Cena's delivery was terrible. Punk was laid out for so long, like I thought he was dead. Per Daphne having to think of things to do, like touch his hair, touch his arm. And it just like, it just doesn't work in any way other than making Punk, someone that the fans do like, just look like a fucking idiot. And I don't think there's a way he can crawl back from this, like as a character. I'm not talking about Phil Brooks the man, but as a character, I he just looked really bad. I guess he can call back from it in the fact that WWE can just make us all forget about this, and CM Punk the character actually never has to address anything, because it's all this stuff that John Cena is alluding to. But yeah, as far as him going back on everything, being a hypocrite and going to Saudi, he is a hypocrite. He's done the shit before. He was like very angry at wrestling, and he took something out in The Miz, and he made us all like, he wanted us all to be judging The Miz so we can absolutely all judge him for doing this. And I almost feel like maybe this is too conspiratorial, but WWE, whether it's Vince McMahon or Triple H, I think they always want to prove that they're right. And I kind of feel like that's what they are doing and are going to do more like with R-Truth. Like, we let him go. We brought him back because you want it, us too. But actually, we're right that he's not really worth it. Like, you know, here's what we did on SmackDown. Him having this ending a DQ match with John Cena and just them not kind of proper following through his first promo. And if I was a paranoid person or a conspiratorial person, I would just think that, like, they're putting Punk in this position to just show him, not like who's boss, but to show him, like, you know, we were always right. Like, we can welcome you back, but, like, don't forget that we are the ones that are right. And anything that you said before about us, we're going to make you have to eat your words, because everyone knows what you said, and now look at what you're doing, and it can't be properly addressed on TV. And I don't even think it's a thing that can be properly addressed in universe. But yeah, I think it's all been a mess. Sorry, I rambled on there. What are your thoughts on the situation?
I feel like you now feel better for letting that all out, Stephanie.
Yeah.
You can now breathe. Well, I mean, it has all been a bit of a mess. I mean, I enjoyed Cena's promo. I quite like the fact that it almost felt like that moment, the pipe bomb, was the moment everyone properly turned on Cena, went pro Punk. That was kind of like that milestone. So Cena, kind of like waiting 14 years later to be able to have his moment with Punk. Yeah, Punk was like acting like he was dead and poor Daphne, but it was like Cena managed to get his points across, which is like fair enough. I'm going to throw out my little theory that I alluded to earlier in the men's
division.
So basically, you have Cena's costing Randy the match at King for the King Ring. Cody's King Cody. Yay, happy fun times. We had the Cena and Punk match. I'm not expecting this to be a great match. I'm really not.
No.
But what I am expecting is Randy Orton's not going to take the fact he's lost King of the Ring twice in a row due to bad reasons lightly. So I think he's going to come out and cause a DQ. And therefore, Cena wins via DQ, which then leads to, because I think you alluded to this point, Cena's matches in this retirement tour have not been great. They've been slow, or body. It takes a lot to get to the point. And I feel like poor John Cena is like, one-on-ones are not it for him.
No.
Whereas if we get him in a fatal four-way situation where you have John Cena versus CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton for the WWE title, you allow Cena to have a match where he can like rest at a lot of points and let others like Punk and Cody carry the match, because it was alluded to that Punk and Cody had never clashed and our paths are soon to cross. Why can't they cross towards the same direction towards SummerSlam for the title with Cena's title on the line? Throw in R-Truth, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I think you're right with the R-Truth situation. Like, I do feel like WWE like to be right. They don't like it when their egos are bruised. I think the We Want Truth stuff really bruised their ego. And it kind of feels like I'm waiting for the moment to be like, you know, look, see, you were right. But you haven't given us R-Truth, you've given us Ron Killens. Ron Killens is a different beast. Ron Killens is the first African-American NWA champion. He was absolutely amazing in NWA TNA. And I'd love to see him factored in, but I don't see that. I think they're going to do more stuff with Aleister Black and a Damian Priest storyline. But a fatal four-way match at SummerSlam for the WWE Championship, I feel like is the route to go to try and bring everything back together and clean things up. Someone's mentioned the Seth cash-in. I can see that happening at SummerSlam. But at Night of Champions, I think we're going to start seeing the seeds planted for a fatal four-way match, which kind of saves Cena from having to do a one-on-one.
Seth is my modern-day Randy Orton. But everyone watching knows that I'm not on the Seth train. So who wins at SummerSlam then for you? Is it Seth going home with it?
Someone's mentioned what I think. Someone's mentioned CM Punk winning. And then Seth Rollins cashing in.
At SummerSlam?
Yeah. So I think that's what's going to happen at SummerSlam. But I think at Night of Champions, Cena will win by DQ because whether it's Randy or Cody, one of them's going to cost Cena the DQ. So therefore, we end the match on a bit of a chaos. Bayley faces raised hands and Cena runs away. But I do see us having a multi-man match with John Cena because he's had too many one-on-ones and he's not really performing in them. Whereas at least in the phase of four-way, he can hide.
Punk's punishment from WWE is A, being made to look like a hypocrite, and B, being stuck in a vortex with Seth Rollins till the end of time.
And then that being like, oh yeah, you lost the title. We're going to basically have like a repeat of Drew and Damien with Punk and Seth. That's kind of where I see this happening. Like, Punk wins the championship, Seth cashes in, and then they're destined to just fight forever at this point. I mean, I'm going to say I do not like Seth's faction.
I would like it if he wasn't the leader, which does just sound like I'm being mean. But to me, he's not. I can't take him seriously as that. And especially, you know, on Raw, he was doing some kind of like, I'm like catalyst promo. And it's like, you're not me. Like you're just not the one. And I like Bron Breakker. I think he's got a lot of potential. It's Seth that I don't buy as the leader, and if they add, you know, Ricky Starks or whoever, I just can't get interested or get behind Seth leading this faction. I also can't get behind the idea that Paul Heyman, that we all know as this really smart guy, would back Seth, given Seth's, you know, entire like trajectory. I can see Paul Heyman backing Roman Reigns because he's a dominant guy, CM Punk because he has history, and then, you know, hopefully he's never coming back, but I see why he backed Brock Lesnar. If he's not going to back one of those guys, I could see him backing a young guy like just backing Bron Breakker, but him behind Seth just doesn't feel believable to me.
But what's really interesting is when Bronson Reed joined the group, you have Paul Heyman hyping up the fact that Bronson Reed gave Seth Rollins a beating. Yeah. And that seems to be a thing that comes out of Paul's mouth a lot. So I think you're right in the sense that I think this is going to flip on its head. Paul is actually going to lean more towards Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed more so than Seth Rollins. But I'm not the biggest fan of this fact. I think it's really silly things. I don't like the fact the faction doesn't have a name, because it's very clear that WWE have given Seth a faction to lead because in the world of wrestling, most like top guys have a faction to lead. Like you've had Roman Reigns lead the Bloodline. You've had Randy Orton lead Legacy. You had Triple H lead in Evolution. Why doesn't this faction have a name? That's really irked me from the get-go. What's the name of this faction? Number two, it is similar to what you said about, like, I don't believe them as a faction.
Yeah.
It does, it's not believable to me. And I think Seth is too over with his theme song. Everyone is always singing his theme song. If he changed it to be like, you know what they did with Judgment Day when they got rid of Altered Bridge and now he had some like weird hip-hop BS that no one really gets into. You need something like that to happen with them.
Yeah.
Like a really Death Rebel, give them like a really bad theme so no one reacts to them.
Death Rebel, do your worst.
Do the absolute worst. Give me like the absolute most BS for like June to come. So no one knows who's coming out and you just get given like silence, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they kind of need. But they're not. They haven't changed the theme music. They haven't changed the, they haven't given them a name, nothing that you can really latch onto, which makes it feel like it's not a long-term thing.
Yeah.
So I think Heyman's a lot smarter than like playing games without realizing, without Seth realizing.
Yeah, I would like, I would like to see Braun Breaker, you know, do what Seth did and take Seth out with a chair. You know, like Shield style. And
yeah, I mean, it does feel like we talk about nostalgia trips. It does kind of feel like we're getting a lot of like history repeating itself with different people.
Yes, it does.
And we just, is it like we'll find out in the Netflix series whether they've just run out of ideas, but have they just run out of ideas? Like they're a Disney movie who don't know what to do with themselves anymore, so just do a bunch of sequels.
Yeah, it does feel like that, and stuff feels, which is kind of, you know, what I think about Cena, and maybe we can blame Dwayne for this too, that stuff feels not very well thought out. And I think with the faction, even if you, is it just temporary, like just give it a name, right? Because people are calling it Seth Riders, and why not? Because you know, like, you haven't given it a name. People are saying the Seth Riders, and why would he not have a name for his faction? And it just feels like if it's something that was in the works, you would have all that stuff ironed out completely. And it just feels like it was a decision that was made, maybe a decision that maybe they didn't want to make. Like, who knows, with that Netflix behind the scenes show, I'll be shocked if it's, you know, totally real and not making them look as best as they can, because it just feels like maybe Paul going with Seth wasn't always what it was meant to be. Like, maybe he was meant to go with Punk or with Roman, and maybe the John Cena Rocks stuff all kind of like messed that up, and whatever like diagrams they had of who's going with who just got like, what Dwayne did changed everything, like even this, because it just doesn't seem to me like a fit. And if the answer was just putting Seth with Paul Heyman, I would have just left Paul with Roman, honestly. Or like, you know, turn Punk heel maybe and put him with Punk, but Seth was definitely like my last choice out of all of them.
I mean, it's like silly things, like we have Zaruka merch now for a tag team that is very inevitably going to split up on NXT. We even had Y2AJ shirts, you know?
Yes.
If they can name tag teams that they're inevitably going to split up, why can't they do that for a faction, which is apparently supposed to be for the long run?
Yeah, and they always have like a lot of merch ready for people. So, I mean, like another part of this Cena Rock conspiracy is the amount of Cena merch they had. Didn't they have merch about The Rock being at Mania and he wasn't at Mania? You know, they're...
I was in the WWE world. It was in the Massive Superstore.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just like, I know that things change on the fly, but if there is something that's been going on since WrestleMania and you haven't ironed out the basic things like a name, what are you doing?
I know. Okay, so you're going with John Cena for the win on this.
But I'm going with you, not via a clean win. We're not getting a clean win in that match.
If CM Punk allows John Cena to pin him clean, then my next conspiracy will be that they like took him away and removed his brain or something, or that it's an AI CM Punk and the real
Phil Burton
is gone. Like, I just feel like, and I've heard some people say like Punk can, you know, turn this around, like wait and see what he says on SmackDown, and people are waiting for what he said on Raw, and he didn't say anything. I think he's just been made to look so bad in a way where I'm like, why are you allowing them to do this? Like, what is happening? And I don't think that John is going to beat him clean. So yeah, I think John's going to win. And the SummerSlam idea, I usually hate multi-man matches, but I also, I hate Cena singles matches more now. Yeah.
I mean, I loved Cena back in the day. He used to be able to go. But I feel like it's, for me, since his WrestleMania match with Austin Theory, falling down a cliff, like he's falling down a slippery slope, I now don't enjoy one-on-one Cena matches. So I'd rather see him in a multi-way where he can get away with hiding.
Yeah, I think that it will be interesting to actually see, everything aside, what his match with Punk is like, because I did think that him and Punk interacted well in the Elimination Chamber, and I think they had chemistry together, and I think that they do work really well together, but I think that for a full match, we might be past the point of, and CM Punk is nowhere near the best wrestler in the roster, but just because of the chemistry and knowing John so well, if there was anyone I would think would bring a good match out of him, it would be Punk, and not someone who's a better wrestler, not like a Sami Zayn or someone. It would actually be Punk just because of their chemistry. But I think John's been very, very bad in a way that is quite irredeemable, and I don't think that CM Punk in his late 40s is capable of carrying that at all.
Do you know who'd be good at carrying that? Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross. Let's just get Karrion Kross. Karrion solve all the problems. Just chucking Karrion Kross in the main event scene. Let him cause chaos.
I mean, the way the certain storylines are, Karrion Kross could just walk in and decide that he was behind everything. Let's do a storyline where, however many years ago, CM Punk didn't tweet that thing about The Miz. Karrion Kross hacked his Twitter and tweeted it, because Karrion Kross has been controlling things all along.
Like, it was Karrion all along. Like, you could take it was Agatha all along and just put it was Karrion all along. Make that into a shirt. It was Karrion all along.
That's how you save CM Punk from what's been done to him. He comes out and he's like, I never tweeted that. Someone hacked me. And in the background, it's Karrion Kross.
Let him get the credit. I mean, all problems can be solved in this, in the men's wrestling on WWE. All problems can be solved with Karrion Kross.
Yes, for sure. Women's wrestling, don't know.
Women's wrestling is great. Like, I love the women's wrestling stuff going on. They don't need help with Karrion Kross. Men, chuck Karrion Kross in there. Solves all your problems. You can scapegoat him for anything. Oh, Cody Rhodes did like a bad steel chair thing. No, that was Karrion Kross who told him to do that. Dominic cheated on Liv Morgan. Karrion Kross told him to do that.
Karrion Kross.
Just scapegoat him and make him put him in everything.
Solve Travis Scott comes out at WrestleMania. It was Karrion Kross. Invited him, hit the music, all of it. Yeah. It was Karrion Kross.
The Rock didn't show up to WrestleMania. Karrion Kross. It was Karrion Kross who manipulated the system and told him.
Tony Khan created AEW. It was Karrion Kross.
Yeah.
All to just get us to this moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
He controls everything.
Well, Shirley, thank you so much. It's been so much fun talking to you. I had a really good time. Tell everyone where they can find you if you want them to find you, and follow your stuff.
Okay, so you can follow me on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Shirley Shells. The spelling is on the title, and it's been tagged in the Fightful socials, so you can find me on there.
Nice. And you can find me, guys, over on X at Stephanie M. Chase, Instagram as well. I'm going to be recording later on Grapple. I don't know if it's on the free feed or the Patreon, but if you guys know Grapple with Benno, me and him are going to be talking about everything. So I think more in depth on the CM Punk Saudi stuff, John Cena heel turn, what we think that Vince McMahon's going to do with his future, and our theories on some stuff on that, just because, yeah.
I feel like it's going to be extra. If you want to see Stephanie vent and have some more like venting sessions, mm-hmm. that would be a great stream to follow.
Yeah, if you want to hop over and see me on Grapple, anyone that's seen me on there before knows that I forget that I'm on camera, and it's what is it? Gareth always says, and it's like Stone Cold Steph, you know, with Shooting Raw over there. So yeah, but thank you all so much for watching. Enjoy watching Night of Champions as much as you can. And thank you again to Shirley, and I'll see you all for the next predictions, which is probably All In. I think All In.
Is it All In or Evolution or Great American Bash? Or there's so many things going on that weekend. It's actually hilarious.
That's true. It will.
Do Cowboy Carter predictions, because that's going on at the same time that weekend.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's a lot. That's a weekend where I will keep an eye out, and I'll work out how I'm going to get through doing both of these shows, these very different shows. But all right, guys, enjoy yourselves, and bye.
See you later, guys.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.